Have you ever left a conversation feeling crazy despite being certain of what you experienced? This psychological manipulation has a name: gaslighting. Far more sinister than ordinary lying, gaslighting aims to make you doubt not just specific perceptions, but your fundamental ability to perceive reality accurately. The term originated from the 1944 film Gaslight, where a husband systematically manipulates his wife by hiding her belongings and denying the dimming gaslights she observes, all while expressing concern for her mental state. What makes gaslighting particularly destructive is its gradual nature. It typically begins with small distortions, "I never said that," or "you're misremembering," before escalating to more significant reality-bending assertions that leave victims questioning their sanity. Unlike someone who simply dismisses your opinion, a gaslighter wants to make you stop taking yourself seriously. Their goal isn't just to win an argument, but to undermine your status as a person whose perceptions matter at all. Think about phrases like, "you're too sensitive," "that's not how it happened," or "you're imagining things." Once might be dismissive, but when these become a pattern, when someone consistently reframes your perceptions as delusions, you're experiencing something deeply destructive. The gaslighter isn't just disagreeing with you, they're attacking your very capacity to engage reasonably with the world. What makes this different from ordinary manipulation? The gaslighter specifically wants to eliminate disagreement by transforming you into someone whose utterances don't qualify as legitimate challenges. Gaslighting flourishes in specific environments where power dynamics and emotional vulnerability create fertile ground. Intimate relationships provide ideal conditions. When we love someone, we naturally want to believe they have our best interests at heart. We're more likely to question ourselves than their motives. Gaslighting also emerges in response to protests against patterns of bad conduct. Rather than addressing problematic behavior, the gaslighter attacks the credibility of the person raising concerns. Discrimination contexts are particularly ripe for gaslighting. When someone protests discrimination, they're often told they're being too sensitive or imagining things, reinforcing existing prejudicial norms. Imagine your worst experience dragging on for months while everyone around you denied anything was wrong. This systematic denial strikes at our fundamental human need for interpersonal confirmation of our experiences. What drives someone to gaslight rather than simply lie or threaten? The answer lies in the gaslighter's unique psychology, their profound inability to tolerate even the possibility of challenge. As one clinical psychoanalyst explains, a gaslighter can't tolerate the slightest challenge to the way he sees things without experiencing unbearable anxiety. But anxiety alone doesn't fully explain their behavior. The gaslighter specifically wants to destroy the possibility of disagreement by undermining another person so thoroughly that she has no standpoint from which to disagree. This explains why they target your basic sense of reality rather than just specific opinions. Most gaslighters have conflicting motives. They often want to maintain relationships while simultaneously undermining their targets. This tension creates confusing cycles of abuse followed by apparent warmth, keeping victims emotionally tethered while steadily eroding their self-trust. Gaslighters weaponize the very capacities that make us human. They exploit trust through small-scale violations that accumulate over time. When colleagues call a woman "our diversity" and HR dismisses her concerns, they violate the basic trust that complaints will be taken seriously. Our capacity for self-doubt becomes another weapon. The willingness to consider, "I might be wrong," is essential for reasonable thinking. Yet gaslighters exploit this virtue through phrases like, "that didn't happen," or "you're paranoid." Isolation strengthens their control by cutting targets off from alternative perspectives. Our capacity for love provides multiple avenues for manipulation. We naturally give extra credence to a loved one's views about our well-being, making us vulnerable when they claim we're paranoid. Even our empathy becomes a weapon. Those with less power have greater practical need to maintain relationships with the powerful, making empathy harder to withhold. Oppressive social structures create double binds that parallel gaslighting in some ways. Women face the competence dilemma: appear competent but unlikable, or likable but incompetent, while men can be both. As brilliantly captured in McSweeney's satire, "You don't smile enough, people don't like you. You smile too much, people don't take you seriously." These double binds create an illusion of escapability. If only one could smile more or less, one might avoid the social penalty. However, unlike interpersonal gaslighting, systems don't necessarily aim to make individuals doubt their sanity. They simply make resistance appear futile. When Dolly Parton sings, "It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it," she's describing extreme frustration at being trapped in a discriminatory environment, not the unmoored feelings characteristic of successful gaslighting. Recovery from gaslighting involves rebuilding trust, not just in others, but in yourself. Trust isn't merely a power like sight, but a sophisticated skill involving effective regulation, interpersonal insight, and moral reflection. Gaslighting annihilates this skill while leaving the basic capacity intact. The journey back requires recognizing that feeling crazy doesn't mean you are crazy. Your reactions have normative force. Your anger, hurt, and confusion are meaningful responses to real experiences, not just mental storms. Recovery often progresses through distinct stages: recognition, separation from the gaslighter's influence, grief and processing, and finally, rebuilding. By establishing small, daily practices of self-trust, like making decisions without seeking validation and acknowledging emotional responses as legitimate, survivors gradually reclaim their voice and perspective. Most importantly, healing means rebuilding the confidence to trust your own perceptions, even when they conflict with others.